in Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, a conversation with South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson. The congressman sits on the House Armed Services and Foreign Relations Committee, so we'll get his thoughts on the now two-week-long conflict between Israel and the terrorist group Hamas in their fight inside Gaza. We'll also ask Congressman Wilson his thoughts about what we know so far about the forthcoming Obama economic stimulus plan. We'll also get some of his thoughts on what ought to be included in terms of tax relief and trimming government spending. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, the Palestinian perspective, we'll talk with Leila Al-Khatami of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee about what priorities she believes need to be in place for a long-standing ceasefire and even peace accords. We'll talk with Roy Beck, head of Numbers USA, and find out why he believes Barack Obama should impose a temporary suspension on legal immigration while so many Americans are looking for work. And we'll have insight into the Illinois impeachment of Governor Rod Blagojevich with Bernie Schoenberg of the State Journal Register. All that plus the top news at week's end follows our discussion with Congressman Joe Wilson, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, a Republican from the Palmetto State's 2nd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committee, and just this week has been elevated to the ranking member on the Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel. We want to get the Congressman's thoughts on a wide variety of issues as we begin the 111th Congress, including national security, as well as the growing debate over a massive economic stimulus package about to be proposed by the incoming Obama administration. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us again. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Well, Happy New Year. It's an honor to be with you.
Let's start with the international scene. Obviously, ever since just before the new year, the number one international concern has been the conflict between Israel and Hamas inside Gaza. It's about 2 weeks old now, and of course, Israel said we've had enough of the rocket attacks. Hamas continuing to fire rockets despite the incursions of Israel into Gaza. The UN Security Council has passed a resolution urging the two sides to agree to a ceasefire brokered by Egypt and the French. What's your sense of what we've seen so far and whether or not it's time for a ceasefire?
Well, my view is that Israel has properly responded. I had the opportunity in August to visit southern Israel. I saw where the rockets are being fired into the southern part of the country, and I met with mothers who have to go after their children in parks and playgrounds, and when there's a alarm, they have to choose which child of all things that they can rescue at the closest and the easiest. And what a choice to have to make any time in your life, but on a frequent occasion. As I tell you this, I was really shocked to find out that Charles Krauthammer, the very prominent columnist, pointed out that there have been 6,464 rockets fired by Hamas terrorists into Israel. This is a long, in the last 3 years, this has just got to stop. No country could allow rockets to be fired from an adjoining country, a safe haven, and Israel has been very tempered in its response, but this must stop.
What do you see as the end game here? Obviously, Israel says removing the ability of Hamas to launch the rockets, smuggling operations between Gaza and Egypt must cease. Are those the terms that they should insist upon? And what else do you think ought to be mandatory here?
Well, Greg, you've identified it very well. And in fact, I was pleased to find out that there are ways to seal the border between Gaza and Egypt. There are efforts to be made to stop the tunnel smuggling. It will be difficult because the border there separates and divides a major city, so it's not like it can be done easily, but it can be done. And by isolating the ability of smuggling rockets into the Gaza, that is what the key issue should be right now.
Congressman, the Bush administration has had a long-standing policy of not engaging in diplomacy with terrorist organizations. The president even refusing to meet with Yasser Arafat during the early part of the administration when Mr. Arafat was still alive. He did subsequently start a dialogue with Mahmoud Abbas, but is not engaged with Hamas. We're hearing from the incoming Obama administration that they do intend to start a dialogue with Hamas. What's your sense on the right policy there?
Hamas has already indicated that they're primary policy is the extermination of the people of Israel. I just can't even imagine how you would work with Hamas terrorists. I don't see how we can work with Hezbollah terrorists. These are people who have a sworn goal of exterminating the people of Israel. I would find it very difficult to figure out what you could possibly... these people would never follow through on any agreement. There was already a proposal of a ceasefire by Hamas, but the terrorists did not follow.
And that, of course, is the ceasefire that was about 6 months in length. And then eventually Israel just last month saying that they needed to respond because Hamas had violated that ceasefire, Hamas claiming the opposite, of course. But what do you see as the short-term end game here, Congressman? Do you sense this conflict will be going on for at least a few more weeks, or do you believe that we're close to a resolution that will be satisfactory to Israel?
Well, the good news, again, for Israel, unlike the situation in Lebanon, and Lebanon, of course, to join Syria. And so there was a way for Iran, and Iran is a principal in this issue. There was a way for Iran to smuggle or to import into southern Lebanon, which simply doesn't exist in Gaza. With extraordinary efforts, the border can be closed with Egypt by monitoring the Mediterranean Sea. With extraordinary efforts, indeed, Gaza can be isolated from the potential of smuggling of rockets, which would then be used by the terrorists to attack innocent Israelis.
Sir, let's shift to the domestic scene. Over the past few days, we've heard a little bit more and a little bit more about the upcoming economic stimulus package that's endorsed by the incoming Obama administration and certainly championed by the Democratic leadership in Congress. The price tag still floating somewhere between $775 billion, maybe as high as a trillion. We're hearing about 40% of that will be in targeted tax credits, individuals, couples, businesses, small businesses, and also an infusion of spending on infrastructure projects, energy projects, updating the healthcare system, and so forth. What's your first reaction as we learn more and more of these details?
Well, my first reaction is that we already, it's been announced this week, could have a deficit this year of around $1.3 trillion. That means that we have to borrow money from American taxpayers, but also from investors around the world. And the more money we borrow, the greater likelihood this could lead to inflation. It could lead to higher interest rates, which I think would be even more catastrophic. And so I am really hopeful that there can be a limitation on whatever the stimulus may be to reflect the fact that the government spends too much money already.
What do you believe, sir, is the best way to stimulate the economy?
Oh, the best way, Greg, is so clear, and that is that you reduce corporate taxes. America has the second highest corporate taxes in the world. That makes it very difficult for us to compete around the world. Additionally, we need to eliminate, and I'm a former real estate attorney, I know that if we could eliminate the capital gains taxes, this would cause a economic boom throughout our country, creating jobs. And that's with the jobs report today. This is just crucial that we make every effort for the private sector to create jobs. This is how we avoid foreclosure, that we help families stay in their homes, that we build the economic nest egg for persons to be able to be secure, for families to be secure. And that is by reducing taxes. This is what has been bipartisan in the past. The first president to propose the reduction of taxes was John F. Kennedy. And, of course, Ronald Reagan made such a strong push for this. The tax cuts of President Bush created between 3 to 5 million jobs. It's tax cuts how you create jobs.
On both of those fronts, you have legislation that you're proposing right now. One is to help adoptive families, and another is to make sure that spending through government credit cards is not abused.
And this needs certainly an incentive. We now have a $10,000 credit for persons to be able to adopt. If we don't extend this, it will go back to $5,000, but it encourages families to adopt children, particularly hard to adopt children. Giving them a loving home, this can be done. And then I was happy you pointed out the abuse of credit cards, and that is that there sadly have been some irresponsible persons working for the government who have used their credit cards for personal use, and we all know that they meant to pay it back. but they get used to using the credit card, and then not only can they not pay it back, it's really an abuse of the credit card. And there are ways through accounting and through reporting requirements and through disclosure that we can rein in credit cards to reduce fraud, waste, and abuse.
About 90 seconds left in our conversation here with South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson. And Congressman, some fear, especially conservatives, that a precedent has been set with the government intervention in terms of bailing out the financial industry and then the president's decision to use some of that money to help out the auto industry. Do you believe a big government precedent has been set here, or do you believe they're isolated incidents that can be reversed?
I believe they will be reversed. I know that with the financial bailout, the intent of that is for the government to be involved and then withdraw. It's a loan. It's not supposed to be permanent. I disagreed with the auto bailout. That also was a loan, but still it doesn't provide for the reforms that are necessary for the American automobile industry to be competitive. And so even though it's a all of these are reversible, I do not want government this heavily involved in the economy. Free market economies work best with least government involvement.
The last 20 seconds, sir. Your leader, John Boehner, at least publicly, seems to be optimistic that there will be a bipartisan dialogue on a lot of these issues with the Obama administration. How optimistic are you?
I'm very hopeful, and we've already seen that with the appointment of Secretary Gates to indeed defeat terrorists overseas and protect American families at home. I truly am keeping the door open, extending a hand of friendship. But I am concerned that we're facing a growth of government which is unprecedented, which is not in the interest of our children and grandchildren.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Always good of you to spend some of your time with us, sir. Thank you.
And, Greg, thank you, and best wishes, and Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Congressman Joe Wilson represents South Carolina's 2nd Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees, and he's now the ranking Republican on the Armed Services Personnel Subcommittee. This is Dateline Washington.